Welcome to Climate Frontiers, a podcast series exploring the latest thinking, approaches, and debates in climate science, hosted by the Climate System Analysis Group, or CSAG, at the University of Cape Town. Our aim is to present an accessible perspective on topics that are often hidden behind academic language. So in each episode, we talk with researchers here at CSAG, and occasionally with partners across Africa and internationally, to cover a range of topics from within physical climate science through to topics in social science and philosophy. Look out for future episodes on this platform and subscribe to the CSAG newsletter at csag.uct.ac.za to be alerted to our new podcasts. This is the CSAG community, connecting science and society for positive change.
Hi, welcome to episode 3 of Climate Frontiers. I'm Chris Leonard, your guest podcast host for this episode. I'm a research associate at the Climate System Analysis Group at the University of Cape Town and interested in producing climate information that is relevant at the regional scale in particular. I am a lead author in the Africa chapter of the Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change 6th Assessment Report, or the IPCC AR6, and a regional focal point for Africa, as well as a member of the Science Plan Development Team of the Academy Lighthouse Project for the World Climate Research Program, or WCRP. Most importantly, I'm a full-time dad to two awesome boys who are 5 and 7, so they will be living through climate change. And I'm married to Associate Professor Jane Battersby, who is an urban food security specialist and way smarter than I will ever be. In this episode, we talk about Cordex Africa and the role it has played in developing capacity to conduct climate research in Africa. Cordex stands for the Coordinated Regional Downscaling Experiment and is a global initiative to produce climate data and information at regional scales through downscaling global climate models. But what is downscaling? Well, I live in Cape Town, and global climate models, so those that are not downscaled, will produce a single figure of rainfall, temperature, or wind for a 150 to 200 square kilometer grid over Cape Town. But Cape Town has the sea, beaches, and mountains that are over 1.5 kilometers high. Yes, I am bragging. These have their own regional climates, so one number for temperature or rainfall from a global model cannot possibly represent each of these. In Cordex, then, we downscale this coarse scale data from global models to produce a number every 25 kilometers, and this is done over each global landmass of the world, largely to represent better these regional climates. And this finer resolution downscaled data plays an additional role when climate information is needed to answer specific questions of specific communities. In this podcast, I'm really excited to talk about Cordex Africa and how Africans have contributed towards this Cordex Global Initiative, particularly how being involved in Cordex Africa has developed a really strong cohort of African scientists who work in their particular disciplines, but also engage with others who are outside their fields.
Often as an early career scientist, it can be hard to know what content and figures to include in a manuscript. I found the Cordex Africa training on how to write an academic paper extremely useful in this area.
As a PhD student, Cordex has helped me through writing and publish 2 papers that helped me to defend my PhD and graduate in April 2021.
I started working with Cordex Africa as a PhD student and am now a manager in the research and environment to the Tanzania Meteorological Authority.
Cordex Africa has helped me expand my knowledge base as a scientist, and I'm no longer confined to my discipline with consequently limited outreach and impact.
Part of my paid work and my volunteer IPCC and WCRP responsibilities, I've been really privileged to work in many scientific and policy-making communities. These communities often steer the scientific policy agendas, and this experience has been really humbling. However, in almost every context, I've noticed one feature which is kind of disheartening, and that is the lack of an African presence and therefore an African voice in the conversation. And while I don't claim to know why this is, I do believe it's really crucial that African climate scientists be represented in these communities so that our African voice and our African perspective can be included in the design of these many programs. In some small way, Cordex Africa tries to address this challenge. Our primary motivation behind Cordex Africa is to develop a cohort of young African scientists who can move and operate in the global communities that are making these important decisions about our future. Our particular focus is on climate change research and adaptation decision-making communities. We do this largely through mentorship, multidisciplinary research, stakeholder engagement, and the production of excellent science. These all provide regionally relevant and integrated climate information for our different communities. So we wanted to take a look back over the Cordex Africa journey before looking forward to where we are heading. We spoke to a dynamic group of scientists from the Cordex Africa family who told us about their Cordex Africa experience. But first, why was Cordex established at all? We hear from Wilfred Akia, who is the head of the Climate Prediction Service Division of the World Meteorological Organization based in Geneva in Switzerland.
I am responsible for regional climate prediction services, and I support member countries in the realm of providing enhanced climate services.
We also hear from Bill Gutowski, a professor of climate at Iowa State University in the US.
My work involves undergraduate and graduate education in weather and climate, as well as climate research ranging from basic physics of climate to community engagement on climate matters.
The primary reasons for establishing Cordex in 2009 rested on the increasing need for climate change information at the regional to local scale and the challenge to understand the underuse of regional climate downscaling information and product.
The development of Cordex was to provide coordination of regional climate modeling. This was research that was emerging in the 1990s and early 21st century.
P.S. This is when some of the people you'll hear from later in the podcast were not even born yet.
At the time, most regional information about climate change was derived from global scale climate model that could not represent local and regional scale processes while there was a burgeoning and parallel development of downscale product for climate change impact assessment.
A goal of the coordination was to share in a structured, coherent way the lessons learned in the community.
Cordex was established in a way to produce regional climate projection through downscaling.
Within Cordex Global, all the downscaling groups were requested to downscale the African domain as a priority region. However, within Africa, we have very limited computational resources to actually do the dynamical downscaling. We need big computers for this. We, as Cordex Africa, have therefore focused on analyzing the available data, and in 2011, we applied for and received funding from the Global Change Systems for Analysis, Research and Training, better known as START, to run a series of workshops to do just this, analyze the climate data. We invited climate scientists from across Africa, including well-established scientists, early career scientists, and postgrad students. We divided into West, East, and Southern African groupings, and at the end of the workshop series produced 11 scientific papers in 2014, four of which were considered in the IPCC AR5 review. This was really exciting. We also introduced the idea of a write shop, which was the last of the four workshops where we actually wrote the papers. This was an extremely successful venture that we took forward into all of our workshop series.
I find it very exciting because as a PhD student, I was able to discuss science with a lot of experienced and talented scientists.
My first impression of Codex was really great.
I felt I had helped on a great team.
An excellent team.
We work hard, but also find time to play hard.
I have enjoyed a lot of support and motivation from the more senior scientists in Codex who invested in my career through mentoring and supervision in terms of how to write good papers, better ways of analyzing your data, and this has really contributed to my development as an early career scientist.
Additionally, we were able to engage with health officials in West Africa and city officials from 5 East and Southern African cities to develop the most relevant climate information for their contexts. In the second phase of Codex, we applied for and received 2 sets of funding from the government of Sweden that facilitated 2 more workshop series. The first was over 2015 and 2016, and the second over 2017 and 2018. These workshops saw the introduction of a Central Africa climate team, as well as the strengthening of the applied sciences team. This included representatives from health, agriculture, hydrology, and energy modeling. We produced 7 academic papers that contributed significantly to the IPCC special report on 1.5 degrees of global warming. The success of Codex Africa undoubtedly comes from the series of workshops that we've run. These workshops have facilitated teaching, skill transfers, the production of papers, mentorship, but most importantly, the development of long-standing relationships and the Codex Africa family.
Hello, I'm Zime Murisa and I'm a program officer at START International. Attending the Codex Africa workshops for me was invaluable because they brought us all together in one place, and this was to engage face-to-face, as well as discuss and work together on the work at hand for a full uninterrupted week. This is something that is hardly achievable in the same space of time when it is done virtually or when we are apart. The workshops also helped me appreciate the climate modeling processes and what it takes to generate models, as well as the uncertainty aspects involved. And all this has greatly enhanced my research work and acumen, as well as publication outputs. I found the high keynote speeches helpful too, as they explained the overview and strategy of the Codex program, as well as the aims of our regional groups. And this helped me link the different disciplines so that we could then proceed to work collaboratively with good guidance.
Hello, I'm Kwadi Kwaku from Cote d'Ivoire, a lecturer and a researcher at the University of Philosophy Boigny in Abidjan. I think the workshop contributed to building and strengthening my academic capacity. They also contributed to reinforce my professional network. I remember this sentence from Professor Bruce Ewitson saying that there is no one right way to write a paper. There are many wrong ways. And in the workshop, I have also been inspired by the motivation and energy brought by Christopher Lena and Gregory Nicolin.
I am Roderick Merime Nonki, and I work at the University of Yaoundé 1. My responsibility includes teaching and supervising some master's degree students in my area of expertise, which includes analysis of the climate change impact on hydrology, water resources, and hydropower potential over African water shelf. I am part of the Vulnerability Impact Adaptation Team, and the group was responsible for developing a coordinated strategy to quantify the impact of climate change in the sector of hydrology and water resources over Africa. The workshops were very helpful to me because I was able to join a team in which there were experienced scientists with whom we had very fruitful discussions. This interaction eventually led to the publication of 2 papers in international peer-reviewed journals during my PhD research, and I am now happy to say I graduated in April 2021.
Congratulations, Dr. Nonki. Well done. During the decade of Codex, at least 10 PhDs have been awarded to Codex Africa scientists. But back to the workshop experience. Here's Dr. Irene Lake, the director of the International Project Office for CORDEX, based at the Swedish Meteorological and Hydrological Institute in, funnily enough, Sweden.
My work includes support and coordination of the CORDEX activities in the different CORDEX domains, as well as scientific and administrative support to the CORDEX Science Advisory Team when they plan and implement visions and strategies. I have worked with CORDEX since 2016, and I was fortunate enough to be able to attend one of the CORDEX Africa workshops. This was in beautiful Cape Town in 2018. I was really happy to meet all these wonderful people who were contributing to the success of CORDEX Africa. And I like to talk in person about the project's challenges and opportunities. And one of the highlights was really being able to spend time with these teams informally and share off-work activities with them. To hear things about family and personal challenges that build lasting relationships, because digital meetings and collaborations can never really replace the understanding and trust and joy that comes from real life meetings and creates a basis for true partnerships and trust.
I found the workshops valuable because they expanded my network.
One of the greatest value of the workshop was the discussion with many researchers all around Africa.
The workshops were also very enlightening for me in the sense that I had so many ideas to apply the CORDEX data. Now I have a lot of post-its, I mean, glued to my desktop screen of papers, of articles that I'm interested in writing using this data.
We asked some folk to talk about the highlights of their experiences during these times together at our workshops.
For me, it was contributing to the IPCC special report on 1.5 degrees.
I think in the last 8-9 years, I've been working with teammates from all over Southern Africa. I really enjoyed the interaction with different groups working for the diverse fields of climate that required data for impact studies.
I loved working in the team.
And working collaboratively.
I enjoyed the activities and interaction during the workshop.
The social outings were also great fun.
There was also time to interact with others in more informal and personal settings.
It was also the moment of great relaxation and discovering new landscape.
All of changes and discussion were conducted in a friendly atmosphere and sometimes with funny histories.
I really enjoyed the many discussions that we had during the different workshops.
Writing academic papers is an extremely important component of a scientist's work, but also one of the most challenging. One of the primary goals of CORDEX Africa is to do just this, and during the workshops, we spent the majority of our time designing papers, running the appropriate analyses, and writing them up for publications. We asked the team members, how did the CORDEX Africa involvement help them with this component of their careers? Maselin Gudashova from the East African team works at IGAD Climate Prediction and Application Center in Nairobi as a research scientist. Her work involves preparing the sub-seasonal and seasonal forecasts for East Africa, as well as conducting research to improve these forecasts. She has been involved in 2 CORDEX Africa papers and was lead author of one of them.
Through the workshops, we have learned how to prepare a scientific paper, particularly how to plan key figures that clearly communicate key messages of the paper. And really importantly, how to effectively address reviewer comments. These are things that we are not taught in university. I also greatly appreciate working with the author team, from whom I gained significant experience and contributed to my first lead authored paper.
From the West African team, Kwaju Kwaku has contributed to 1 CORDEX Africa paper, but also several others that use CORDEX Africa data.
I especially enjoy the writing process, where I have learned new method, vocabulary, and expression from native English speakers and more experienced colleagues. One of the main benefits was also to publish with senior scientists in a high-impact journal. During the workshop, we received training on writing and reviewing a paper. This was one of the most useful experiences for me. There were several experienced colleagues, scientists who shared their experience. At this time, I just defended my PhD and had limited knowledge in this aspect and was in the review process of one of my papers. This training helped me a lot.
As we've heard, we found the write-ups incredibly useful, both for writing papers, but perhaps more importantly, to learn about how to actually write and review a paper. Another common thread that emerged from all the teams was how beneficial it was to actually work in a team context. Dr. Sarah Osima works at the Tanzania Meteorological Authority as the manager in research and the environment. Organizes and conducts research in meteorology, climate and climate change, and has been involved in writing the National Climate Change Strategy of Tanzania.
In Codex, I was also involved in writing paper, of which I managed to be the lead author of one paper, and the other paper I was the co-author under 1.5 and 2 degrees Celsius global warming level. Working in a team and taking part in the writing shop really improved my writing skills and was particularly useful in enabling me to analyze codex data and writing papers. At the workshop, I was able to learn how to write research paper publication and make use of various climate analytical tools.
Sarah told us that she's also currently supervising a PhD student from the University of Dodoma who uses Codex data in their thesis. It's really encouraging to see that Codex Africa reaches into postgraduate studies outside of these workshops.
Hi, my name is Bondude Bettina Poline. I am working at University of Yaoundé 1, Cameroon. Here, my responsibilities include teaching and doing research. I am a member of the Central Africa Codex team. Our group produces many papers for IPCC special report. I am also author of many papers using Codex output. Additionally, here in Yaoundé, we have formed a Codex team and I contribute to the design and coordination effort of this team.
Zime Murisa here. My responsibilities include nurturing stats role in programs such as Fractal and EPIC, which is educational partnerships for innovation in communities in Africa, as well as fostering relationships and conducting representational outreach on behalf of START, particularly in Southern Africa. I'm part of more applied vulnerability impact adaptation team, but also I was part or am part of the Codex Southern African Climate Team. I've been involved in writing one Codex Africa paper where I assisted in the analysis and application components of the paper. The more experienced scientists in the group were particularly helpful in reviewing work and guiding the data analysis. I also enjoyed the heated arguments and camaraderie developed through the paper writing process. We also developed a number of leadership qualities necessary for such a collaborative process and the different roles each of us as authors played. And these were of very much interest to me.
Hi, my name is Junito Maur and I work at the Eduardo Mondlane University in Maputo, Mozambique. My responsibilities include heading the Department of Physics at the Faculty of Science, also lecturing on undergraduate and postgraduate levels, including conducting research, especially on climate. So my role in Codex Africa team was basically somehow leading the Southern African team that was responsible for writing the paper on the impacts of global warming levels of 1.5 and 2 degrees Celsius in climate over Southern Africa. I took back home from the more experienced scientists in the group the atmosphere that they generated in the process of writing. Sometimes we get stressed up because we are writing something, we have got deadlines, and we don't have sort of a methodology in writing.
Junito once told me he felt that the Write Shops was like a gym workout, where we work really hard together to achieve a goal. And I really like this characterization. The more we exercise our paper writing muscles, the better we become at producing world-quality scientific output in high-profile scientific journals. Many of our workshop participants have used the experience and knowledge gained from the workshops and authored a host of Cordex papers that have contributed significantly to the IPCC 6 assessment report. If you take a look on the Cordex Africa webpage, it'll show the number of papers produced each year, and the list is being added to almost every month. Academic publications are not our only achievements. One very important role we engage in is working with communities who need climate information in their decision-making frameworks. One memorable event was when some Cordex Africa folk were able to spend 3 days with city officials from 5 East and Southern African cities. It was incredible to hear about their climate information needs, and humbling to understand that what we as climate scientists thought they needed was almost totally wrong. Here is more from John Padgham, the Director of the Global Change System for Analysis, Research and Training, or START, who provided the initial funding that began the Cordex Africa journey.
I'm based in Boulder, Colorado, in the United States, and I lead START's efforts to strengthen scientific capacities for addressing climate change in Africa and Asia. START was most involved in Cordex Africa from around 2012 to 2014, during which time we provided financial support through a grant we had from USAID to kickstart the first round of Cordex Africa. And we worked closely with CSAG to develop the intellectual structure of the program and to provide a logistics and coordination function with respect to planning the workshops. One of the most memorable experiences I had with Cordex Africa was an event that we co-convened with CSAG involving mixed teams of researchers, Met Services, and city planners from 5 African cities. And the aim of this event was to better foster a shared understanding of how to more appropriately use climate information to support decision making. The event was particularly memorable from the standpoint demonstrating the need to strengthen basic climate literacy among potential users of climate information. For example, terms like resolution and uncertainty, they're commonly used by climate scientists, have very different meanings when applied outside the scientific realm.
A unique perspective on this subject comes from Wilfred Nokia, whose responsibilities include providing regional climate predictions to a number of sectors, including agriculture, food security, energy, water, disaster risk, and health.
Most of these communities would like to use Cordex Africa information to support climate change adaptation options. But a very positive aspect of Cordex Africa is that it has quickly understood the need to co-design and co-produce scale-relevant climate information that can be used by stakeholders' communities. Working in the multidisciplinary context, Cordex Africa has helped to address a large spectrum of user needs and perspectives. Furthermore, and this is very important, Cordex Africa has helped to avoid confusion because of differently understood concepts such as high resolution, spatial scale, the difference between climate data and climate information, understanding uncertainties associated with climate modeling, and also, very importantly, the limitation of using Cordex data.
The relationship between Cordex Africa researchers and stakeholders is mutually beneficial. As we work with communities who need climate information for their decision-making frameworks, we also better understand their contexts, information needs, and how to apply what we know from the Cordex models.
Hi, I'm Izzedine. I'm a lead author in Chapter 11 of the IPCC 6 Assessment Report on weather and climate extreme events in a changing climate, as well as an author of the technical summary and drafting author on the summary for policymakers. I've worked with stakeholders in the water, health, and agriculture sector. The work involves developing climate information and tailor it to the specific sector. It was important to work with this community to co-produce relevant information for their needs and to better understand how to use climate model output to develop information for decision making and communicate this information. I would recommend everyone working in the climate model community to engage at least once with stakeholders or users of climate information.
As you've probably gathered, Cordex Africa is not just about climate science. We understand the importance of co-producing climate-relevant information with stakeholders and other disciplines. Climate scientists know very little about, for example, agricultural modeling and vice versa, so it's really important we work together to produce the best possible information that's relevant and useful to the decision-making community. We asked some of our applied scientists about their experiences working with us climate scientists.
I am a freshwater ecologist, and my area of expertise is sustainability sciences, and more specifically, focusing on natural resources management, environmental change, urban resilience, freshwater ecology and conservation, biological monitoring, fisheries, water resources management, as well as climate impacts modeling, and these focusing all on tropical ecosystems.
Working in an interdisciplinary context has its challenges.
The most difficult part was leaving my disciplinary comfort zone and embracing new ways of working. And for me, the hardest part was understanding the actual climate modeling, which is very technical.
Another major challenge is the formatting of climate data used as input in the impact models.
For me, coming from the agrometeorology side, retrieving and processing climate data into what I need for agricultural modeling is particularly challenging.
But these challenges have proved beneficial.
A great benefit of this process was appreciating climate models, the modeling processes, and uncertainty associated with the processes, all of which I can now explain together with climate outputs. Secondly, being part of the Cordex Africa community has helped me to expand and apply knowledge beyond my discipline.
The engagement between climate and VIA scientists and the collaborative development helped me to get access to climate data, and I also benefit from techniques to analyze them in order to use them as input as in impact models.
Codex has really helped me to develop capacity in the aspect of interdisciplinary collaboration. By working with people from different fields of expertise, me coming from a pure climate background during my master's, and it helped my smooth transition into impact modeling for my PhD. And I'm also grateful for the session on bias correction, because as an impact modeler, it is essential to understand why, when, and how to bias correct your climate data.
The mentorship model of Cordex Africa has realized a much greater return on investment than only capacity development or writing papers. Over the decade, the sustained mentorship has contributed to the career advancement of many Cordex Africa scientists. Here's Mzime Murisa again.
Cordex helped me in progressing my career through linking me with climate science and modeling, and therefore assisting me to develop skills as well as expertise in climate impacts modeling. And I continue to use these skills in developing global environmental change-related programs, publications, and in academic supervision of students, as well as mentoring of young, early career researchers. All this has been a huge learning curve for me to work with climate scientists and modelers to understand the processes and technical aspects of modeling, while also sharing inputs on the impact. I've been able to apply these skills in my work on ecosystems, such as in Lake Kariba fisheries, and this is both during my PhD as well as postdoctoral studies. I can confidently say that Cordex helped me to harness these skills and to apply them in local to global assessments, such as my contribution to the IPCC AR 4 and 5, that is assessment reports, for the ecosystem sections of the region, that is Africa chapters, as well as other related regional outputs, such as a book that we collaboratively worked on, which focuses on the ecology of the Zambezi River Basin.
I learned how to evaluate, analyze, and bias correct the climate data used for impact study. I am now have an important background in climate data processing. I receive many invitation letters from the Codex Africa colleagues to participate in different international conferences as a former and expert. I was also recommended by the Codex Africa colleagues as young promising scientists in different national projects.
Codex has helped me in progressing my career through obtaining an AMS fellowship.
I've also enjoyed a lot of support from the more senior scientists who invested in my career through mentoring and supervision in the Codex Africa community. And I must say that I'm also grateful to the Codex in general too for providing the opportunity for my first international conference in Sweden in 2016 for me to present my MSA research and to be able to present my impact modeling work at the 2019 Codex conference in Beijing, China. All this will highlight for me as an early career scientist.
Furthermore, being a part of the Codex Africa community can be beneficial due to networking and growing both professionally and with personal relationships with the team. Many of the Codex Africa colleagues and community members have influenced my career, particularly those at CSAC, whom I have worked with since 2010 after attending their winter school. I've worked with these colleagues in follow-up projects which have involved climate modeling, vulnerability and impact assessment, as well as fostering urban resilience and decision-making in southern African cities. It has also helped me collaborate beyond the Codex program, like in the Fractal program, which is the Future Resilience for African Cities and Lands, which was in 8 Southern African countries. And I know that another program called Climate Adaptation for Rural Livelihoods in Zimbabwe, acronymed CARL, was initiated through discussions that were held during a Codex meeting with Oxfam and representatives from SMHI, that is the Swedish Meteorological and Hydrological Institute, which are partners in the Codex program. I also benefited from Codex from sharing relevant information such as funding for proposals and other capacity development opportunities such as workshops.
As we've looked back over the last decade of Codex Africa, we see our achievements as foundations on which to look into the future. We don't intend to rest on our successes, but we want to continue our contribution to understanding the impact climate will have on the African continent, which is particularly urgent as we rapidly approach the Paris Accord figure of 1.5 degrees of global warming. Here are some thoughts from Codex Africa folk about how we would like to contribute to understanding our common African future and continue the development of our legacy as Codex Africa.
Regarding Codex in the future and Codex Africa in the future, I think it's really impressive how the Codex Africa community and teams has developed over a relatively short time. And I would really love to see it continue to develop and prosper given the necessary funding and incentives. And the networks that have been created across Africa between scientists, modelers, impact scientists is really impressive and crucial for the continued development.
The initial round of Codex Africa, I think, was quite productive from the standpoint of the number and quality of scientific publications. And so one of the important legacies of Codex has been to increase Africa's contribution to and its presence in the IPCC. Another important legacy was a way in which Codex Africa was designed to engage mixed teams from climate science and climate applications, such as climate information needs and priorities, and societal decision timeframes and spatial scales could inform upfront how Codex data could be appropriately interpreted and presented. And it's worth mentioning that this emphasis on prioritizing decision context to shape climate messages continued beyond Codex into other CSAG efforts, most notably through the Fractal program.
CORDEX has successfully connected regional climate researchers across Africa, both with each other and with climate scientists elsewhere. The actual research has been important, but the networking of researchers who might otherwise be isolated has been vital. I would like to see CORDEX Africa get the chance to focus on maintaining and strengthening its network of climate researchers. The network could easily fall apart. Sustaining this network is fundamental to advancing the science of climate and climate change for Africa, and through that, to providing credible, relevant, and actionable climate information to communities impacted by climate change.
It is really important to have continuous funding in order to sustain those networks that we have already established and to continue developing the capacity of our African scientists. And this will help us to achieve a degree of regional scientific independence, which altogether enables the building of a solid foundation for robust, adequate, usable, and actionable climate information for the best use of society.
I think John's next point really drives things home for us.
As is well known, Africa is among the most vulnerable regions to climate change, and it's one of the least capacitated regions with respect to interpreting, analyzing, and applying climate information. Therefore, I think it's worth highlighting the critical role that CORDEX Africa played in addressing these gaps through striving to integrate climate research with decision-making and to strengthen climate data literacy across the research to application spectrum. And very importantly, it's worth noting that CORDEX Africa is essentially African-owned and driven, and thus has the deep knowledge and relationships to design and implement truly effective programs with durable impacts, and arguably more durable impacts than with respect to programs that are designed by and in the North.
Given this, we asked our colleagues, where would they like to see CORDEX Africa in the next 5 years? Where should CORDEX Africa focus, and what should CORDEX Africa focus on?
I think it is very important that 5 years from now, CORDEX Africa should foster understanding of climate change, related impact and vulnerability at country to regional level. It should also facilitate use and dissemination of specially detailed climate prediction and projection in support of decision-making process, as well as to develop ethically sound and scientifically grounded climate services, information and products.
The CORDEX Africa Impact Atlas, which we developed a prototype of but then ran out of funding, it could, if given the chance, exemplify the end-to-end production of climate information through development and dialogue with stakeholders and users from start. And this end-to-end perspective is critically important for the future development.
So as a next step for CORDEX Africa, I think it would be interesting if we could include more experiments with the highly customizable RRF model. Myself, I'm very comfortable with working with this model, and I know the potential that exists, especially for the possibility of accounting for other forces like aerosols and wildfire emissions, other wildfire emissions, which are known to have a huge impact on the climate in the region.
What I would like to see is for the coming CORDEX project to focus more on capacity building, especially in the project proposal development, to educate the young scientists and researchers in developing a project proposal for funding in Africa.
I think it is important that in the next 5 years, CORDEX Africa should utilize emerging science in downscaling, such as machine learning, engage the communities in mitigation and adaptation strategies from the grassroots.
Address all the research proposals that were initiated during the last CORDEX Africa VR team.
In the future, I'd like to see Codex Africa continue developing the capacity of early to mid career researchers and to grow the Codex Africa community.
Investigate climate services using more high resolution simulation.
Address a direct solution to the end users.
Expand the community to include more experts on vulnerability impacts and assessment of climate change and variability, and to also include other disciplines such as economics, for instance, and this will all make the effort truly transdisciplinary.
In addition to strengthening the research capacity of scientists, which is something that Codex Africa has done well, there must also be a sustained parallel effort to work with and develop the capacities of key stakeholders within the government and private sector and civil society so that these constituencies are able to identify and articulate decision-making needs and priorities that intersect with climate. On the other side of the coin, there's also a need to develop capacities of climate researchers to better understand the diverse decision context and to shape climate messages accordingly. So all communities, whether they're from the government, private sector, or the research communities, then become active partners in the development and application of climate information to address immediate and emerging climate risks.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank all those who have been involved in putting together the Codex program, including the Codex Africa team. This has been a great effort to try and bring together the climate scientists and other disciplines together. And I think it has had such great impact, not only on our professional careers, but even on the network and growing the network and making sure that the capacity development in Africa in terms of climate modeling and bringing in other disciplines, the impacts community, for example, such as people as myself, are also involved. And I would urge the partners and teams and resources to be brought together to continue this effort, as it is quite important.
Thanks, Mzime. And I would also like to thank two very special friends of Codex Africa who've helped establish the initiative from the beginning, and they continue to support it. Grigori Nikulin from the Swedish Meteorological and Hydrological Institute in Sweden, and Alessandro Dossio from the EU Joint Research Centre in Ispra in Italy. They've not only supported us in the ways that we've heard about, but they've also supported the Codex Africa leadership team, giving their time and energy very selflessly. They've even paid their own ways to some of our workshops. And my last word of thanks goes to Irene Lake, the director of the Codex International Project Office, who heard from earlier. She works extremely hard finding us funding to run these workshops. And these workshops facilitate everything that we've discussed today. Without her, almost the entire second phase of Codex Africa would not have happened. So thanks, Irene and Grisha and Alessandro. We really appreciate your efforts. As we end this podcast, over the last decade, Codex Africa has established a very strong foundation on which to build for the future. As we go into the next decade, Codex Africa has tremendous potential to contribute to understanding how regional climates in Africa will change as a consequence of climate change, the impacts this will have on many parts of society, and work with stakeholders to figure out how best we can respond to this threat. If you would like to fund Codex Africa activities, or be involved in Codex Africa as a scientist or a stakeholder, or need access to Codex information, please contact me, Chris Leonard, or Irene Elake at the Codex International Project Office. For more information about Codex Africa and our workshops and our achievements, please visit the Codex Africa website hosted at CSAG, www.csag.uct.ac.za/codex-africa. Given the opportunity, Codex Africa will continue to engage in the analysis of core climate data, write scientific papers, have climate and impact scientists working together with each other, and policy and community stakeholders, who all need this information to make their decisions. My really, really last word of thanks goes to everyone who's been a part of Cordex Africa over the years. Without your time, energy, enthusiasm, sweat, sleepless nights, and in some cases, sacrificed annual leave, none of this would have been possible.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Climate Frontiers. Look out for future episodes on this platform or subscribe to the CSAG newsletter at csag.uct.ac.za to be alerted to our new podcasts. This project was brought to you by CSAG at the University of Cape Town. This episode was produced by Andre Burnett, our podcast coordinators Kate Kloppers, and original theme music created by Leroy Nell. This is the CSAG community, connecting science and society for positive change.